We're exploring failure today on The Pulse, and now that we've discussed all of the emotional angst that surrounds failing, let's turn our attention to some very special humans who don't give a hoot if they fail. In fact, that's pretty much all they do all day long, and they seem to be undeterred by it. Ten-month-old Henry Bechtel wants nothing more than to put his little hands on my microphone, but he just can't get there, try as he might to stand up. Olivia Saltzman is a year and a half, and she's having a terrible time trying to put colorful rings on wooden stakes. There goes the whole thing, falling on the floor. Olivia and I were also experiencing a pretty serious failure to communicate.
Push.
What's that?
Push.
Finally, she holds up a tiny plastic object which belongs to one of her princess dolls.
Push.
Oh, purse.
Push.
And she just doesn't seem to care.
Push.
That's because at this precious age, from birth to about 18 months, kids only feel the primary emotions.
Joy and sadness and anger and fear and disgust and one other, which is surprise.
Catherine Dalsgaard is a psychologist at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and she says that limited range of emotions means blissful ignorance.
Children are busy, busy, busy in the first year of life, trying to learn how to talk and how to walk and how to use fine and gross motor skills and how to have their movements correspond to what their brain is saying to do. So basically, the first year of life is about learning to walk the walk and talk the talk. So they don't have time or the capacity to know how they are in relation to others and to judge themselves in relation to others, all of those things.
Think about it. How would you learn to crawl, stand, walk, or talk if you were secretly wondering why Hudson over there can already get up the steps even though he was born 2 months after you? Or why little Ella with her perfect hair is already forming three-word sentences? Show off. Dalsgaard says that all of those more complex emotions, envy, jealousy, pride, the baggage perhaps, all that comes later, around 2 years of age.
They are called the social emotions. It means that the child has developed the capacity to understand herself in relation to others.
And once kids understand the concept of achievement and failure on a more complex level, parents play an important role in framing how they deal with setbacks. And Dalsgaard says many overdo it, big time.
Grown-ups are blabbermouths. A child fails and it's, oh, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Don't worry, it's just a mistake. Oh, it's okay if it's not perfect. We can give you a new piece of paper. Look, you can draw it again. And the message that children get from that is, oh my gosh, my failure has made my mother anxious. Look at how much she is trying to correct it or fix it or soothe it. It must be a big deal.
Instead, Dalsgaard encourages parents to allow failure to happen. And if nobody's heard, give your child space to deal with it.
Feeling distress is a normal and important part of growing up.
And being able to deal with that distress and move on, Dalsgaard says that's what's going to count in the long run.
There's a lot of research that says the better you are at regulating your emotions, the ability to soothe yourself, the ability to put the painful event that just happened to you into perspective and then choose how to express your emotions about that is one of the main predictors of adult success.
So dealing with kids' failure is yet another thing parents can fail at. And that's not all. Researchers have also found that how parents praise their children's successes impacts how kids will deal with future challenges. Praising behaviors rather than making glowing blanket statements. So nice work drawing that elephant rather than, oh wow, you're the best artist ever. That seems to help kids develop a healthy attitude toward learning new skills and potential failure.
I don't know.